Thank you very much for this elaborate introduction. I was here as a visiting fellow at PI 6 years ago, and I haven't been back since then, so I'm very grateful that that you three invited me here, and also Sylvain for the next week. Thank you. And so today's talk is actually, so it's not exactly on the CDT framework, but it's rather general. And in fact, it's actually, for the moment, classical. And and it's not on actually tensor models, but so I'll talk about this Wilson loops and non-abelian Stokes theorem. It's a work with Renate and also her students, Nilas and Marcus. And Renate's talk, also observables are important in quantum gravity. And Wilson loops, being the solution of differential equations for parallel transport, it's naturally, it should encode some sort of information of the curvature of the underlying manifold. Therefore, it's a priori a very good candidate for observables in gravity. And so this is one of the motivations. And the other, another motivation is that, for example, in QCD, Wilson loops are a very interesting quantity because it's non-local, but yet gauge invariant quantity. And in QCD, for example, at strong coupling limit, it was shown to give area law, and it supports the concepts of co-confinement. And also in the weak coupling regime, it gives perimeter law. So for example, it can behave as an order parameter. So it's a very interesting quantity. So, so the idea is, why not looking at it in gravity context? And so let's see. In the gravity context, it's not very trivial because, so I'll explain what this is, but I'll denote Wilson loop as something like this. It is a 1-1 tensor, so it would transform in the gravity context, it would transform under 1-1 tensor, but also not only that, this is the gamma, I would denote it, this is the loop, and it will also act on the loop itself. So in the gravity context, the geometry is coupled with also the gauge symmetry of the particular problem. So you'll be non-trivial in this sense. And maybe we'll see that in my talk. Let's see. So let me define this thing. So what I mean by this is, Wilson loop, in other words, is also a holonomy, known as holonomy, of Levi-Civita connection on a manifold. Maybe we denote it by M, with a metric structure and out to it, G mu nu, in any dimension, D dimension. And so this is given by path ordering. This key denotes path ordering of the exponential. And the tau is a parameter that we define on a loop. And the dot denotes dd tau. And this is the Levi-Civita connection. So path ordering acts on that. And then the reason I denote this is to carry it over to, these indices are carried over outside. So this is the what we mean by gravitational Wilson loops. And then, this is a rather non-trivial object because, as you can see, these Levi-Civita connections, they don't commute at each point, for example, in space and time. So therefore, you have this non-trivial path ordering, and you have to take into account this quite seriously. And this thing, for example, in QED or abelian theories, uh, This is given by this, well, maybe a priori it's given by the path ordering of the exponential over this line integral over closed loop. But because this is abelian and this gauge connection, they commute. So at each point in space and time, so then this path ordering drops out. And then by simple Stokes theorem, you can rewrite it with simple kind of area integral by Stokes theorem, where of course the boundary of this particular surface that you're taking the integral over has to be this path. But this is the case for abelian gauge theories. But it's not the case for example, QCD or our case, which is a gravity. And in fact, if you take, this Wilson loop. So eventually, because of course, observables need to be at least diffeomorphism invariant, we'll take the trace, at least that needs to be done later on. But I'll keep talking about this object for the moment. And this, one can Taylor expand it. And let me just illustrate how it can be quite complicated object. And so this is a sum of infinite terms. But let me write a few. First, maybe a few terms in this expansion. So again, these dots on the top are derivative with respect to tau or tau prime, etc. And then there are higher order terms. But so this one, let's say this is tau and up to from zero to tau, whereas this one is now two-dimensional integral. So this is the range, and then the third term I won't write it explicitly, but let me just draw this. I'll put it here. Tau prime, tau double prime. Okay, so it is actually a nested integral, and then the first range is zero to tau, but the second term, for example, I have to integrate first over tau prime, and then it would depend on the tau, and then I have to integrate over tau later, and then so forth for the third term, and then fourth term, etc. And the range of integration is, this is the basically upper corner of this simplex, and then one simplex, two simplex, and then this will be three simplex, and etc. So this is a nested integral, which is not trivial if you try to, for example, expand it in Taylor series. So in the gravity context with the Levi-Civita connection, we can argue that this Wilson loop, if I take the trace, would take the value in the Lie group SOD in any dimension. So for example, what I mean is for two dimensions, actually, if I take the trace, it will be 2 cosine alpha with this angle associated with this Wilson loop. This is in, because it's going to take value in SO2. And then in three dimensions, it's going to take value in SO3. This is two dimensions. And so forth. For four dimensions, we have two angles, actually. This is four dimensions, etc. So, yes.
Should we ask questions?
Yes.
Is the appear before you take the test?
I am not sure whether it's clear or not.
When you take the trace, you know it will be conversion? In some cases.
I think it should correspond to this value for all cases. So in that sense, it should be always convergent. But I don't know whether I don't know whether I can say it's convergent or not.
It's exponential. It's convergent.
Yeah, it is. Oh, okay.
It's a non-commutative exponential.
Yeah, it's path ordered also. Yeah.
It does converge because it's if you just write the equation that the parallel transport of a vector around gamma is given by some SON transformation. This is the matrix of that transformation.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's compact, it's a Euclidean.
Yeah, so for the moment it's Euclidean, but we can change it to Lorentzian in a sense that it will become, so one has to be careful, it will become Gaussian. In that sense, we can talk about it in Lorentzian, but I'll talk about it in Euclidean signature for a moment. All right, so even though it looks quite complicated with the path ordering, we know that it should be rather simple in the end. So I'll visit non-abelian Stokes theorem first, and then this is part of the motivation for our work. So this is for general non-abelian gauge theories. So this is basically another attempt to express the Wilson loop, which is a line integral, into some sort of surface integral form. And there is a work by Arefeva in 1980 on this. And I'll briefly review her work, and then we'll start from there. So if I have a loop, so there is the base. Then I can tile up small building blocks of these Wilson loops. So I'll give an example of doing so. Looks like this. This is 4, this is number 3, 1 inch. So let me first write and I'll explain. So a priori, I have, so these S and T are my parameterization for two-dimensional surface. And so now the path ordering actually, or this is now what we can call it surface ordering. So the right-hand side, so namely the, not the line integral one, which is left-hand side, but right-hand side will look like the surface ordering of these little building blocks. So these guys depend on S and T. But it's going to be a product. And in my example, I have to order it in a specific way. So so that the, so I only want the outer loops left after I take the product, so that inside these lines, they have to cancel each other. In other words, they have to be next to each other in the neighboring in order to cancel properly. So there is this ordering, specific ordering one has to take. And this is the so right-hand side. And so let me just a little bit more specific on what I mean by these symbols. So these guys. So these are essentially just a Wilson loop. But let me see. So it is a Wilson loop with some tail, we can call it tail, and transported back all the way to the base point P. And let me see. And these F and little G are also basically Wilson lines. These are Wilson lines. And this is the, I denote by this thing as the Wilson loop with the square. So, and then let me write what F's are, F is, and then also G is basically the same thing. They all depend on S and T. And the Vajivita connection. I should have these also are 1-1 tensors. here is this. So again, similar things. So again, the F and G's are basically Wilson lines, but F depends on the path ordering of, in the S direction, whereas G depends on the path ordering of the T direction. And again, it's just a path basically, and then you have the Levi-Civita connection. So what I have to do, so each of these building blocks are Wilson loops, but basically they have to be transported back to the base point, which is original base point, which is a P. And then, maybe I'll keep writing on this line, column. So what Alefeva shows was that in the continuum limit, what we mean here is that we're gonna make the Wilson loops into very, very small one. In other words, we're gonna take as many, infinite number of Wilson loops, building blocks. So in the continuum limit, what she showed was that this object, this is the left-hand side originally, which was a line integral. Reduces to, let me write it here. So here is the.
Gamma is now the gauge connection.
Yes. And it's the Levi-Civita connection that we are just a gauge connection, sorry. Yeah. General non-abelian gauge theory. And I'm being a little bit sloppy on my notation. It reduces to the right-hand side, which is the surface integral form, reduces to this form, which is a little improvement because it used to be that it was depending on, the path ordering depends on S and T, so it was surface ordering. Now it only depends on one parameter, in the continuum limit. Once you take as many Wilson building with on the building blocks as possible to tile up and then to to get the original Wilson loop. So it only depends on one parameter. However, this object, so their F and G's, they all have the indices. They are all 1-1 tensors here. So I don't, sorry, I'm not writing the contraction explicitly. But so nevertheless, this object is still a tensorial object. And so it's still unclear exactly what I'm integrating over. But also at the same time, as we already saw it in the beginning there, that each of these Wilson loops building blocks, they are non-local object in the sense that even though, so here, so in the continuum limit, what happens is I basically have all these, the Riemann tensors here, that are basically local object. However, I'm gonna have to transport all of them back to the original base point. So in the integrand, this object, so it is a Riemann tensor here, which is some sort of curvature information. But however, because of F and G, I have to transport it back, which means that this is a non-local object and it is a tensorial object. And still, I still have this path ordering in one parameter. So her work is very nice, but yet for us, it's not satisfactory yet because we don't really know what kind of curvature information that Wilson loop of Levi Civita connection can give us. And so it's, so this was kind of a motivation. Okay, can we talk something more about this right-hand side, which is some sort of surface integral, and can we identify exactly what kind of curvature information Wilson loop can encode and can eventually hopefully serve us as a good quantum gravity observable. So let me, any questions so far?
Are you saying that essentially you're getting a boundary observable at the end of it, or?
Boundary?
Are you getting a boundary observable? I'm a little confused.
Why
is it, yeah, so perhaps
so,
motivation for this?
So what we want to get is maybe something of this form, maybe, but except that we don't really want any path ordering because it makes it unambiguous. It makes it ambiguous what exactly kind of information that we are getting. And also, also this non-local object is a non-local object and it's, I don't know. We want something that's not tensorial and scalar. And because we don't want anything path ordering means that we want something simple, very simple area integral. At least this is the goal. And so that we know exactly what Wilson loops are telling us about the curvature of the underlying manifolds. And then now we have some results. So I'll present to you now. Okay, so Stokes theorem. So it really, it just basically relates the d-dimensional integral to co-dimensional one integral. So this is, let's say, n-dimensional thing, and this is co-dimensional one. Dimensional object. And for physicists, there are some simple examples. So in three dimensions, let's say, and in QED, we have so this is a Stokes theorem relating a two-dimensional object with a one-dimensional object. And because, so A is the gauge potential and B is the magnetic field, because B is given by the curl of gauge potential, it's given, so here, because I'm using A, my surface integral is denoted by S. But this object is known as actually magnetic flux. And here is the Stokes theorem applied. And then also I can relate two-dimensional integral with the three-dimensional integral. This is via Stokes theorem. But the divergence of the magnetic field is zero. So this right-hand side gives us zero in this case. And this actually relates, or this actually gives us the surface independence. So this S, surface independence, maybe I'll give a quick. In the sense that as long as the boundary of S1 and S2 is shared by the same boundary, which is a one-dimensional thing, this is the, it's the same, gives you the same value, okay? So sorry, this was just to give you the analogy of our result. And what we have in our case, for gravitational case, is that this gauge connection or the gauge potential in this case is basically our Levi-Civita connection. And then we have a magnetic field, as we identify our magnetic field as this object, where xi is Killing vectors. In this case, Killing vector. And this is something called sectional curvature. And I'll give definition. Sectional curvature spanned by these vectors u and v, which are orthogonal to Killing vector, or Killing vector. Okay. And this is the Riemann tensor of the manifold itself. This is our sectional curvature. And then one can show that actually the divergence of this object is zero. And which means that our flux, so here it was a magnetic flux, but in our case, maybe it can be called a gravitational flux or a geometric flux, is this simple surface integral of this object with the sectional curvature and Killing vector. And this is actually related to the angle that I talked about there associated with the Wilson loop. And so let me, it's already there so I can, so I denote with gamma because it depends on the loop. Maybe I should have put gamma there. But so our gravitational flux is actually identified with an angle, and this is actually a simple integral over surface. And this is, this object is, it encodes a priori curvature information of the manifold, underlying manifold itself. And it's a simple area integral. So this is the result, basically the main result we have. And this all this is actually, sorry, I'm talking about everything for the moment in three dimensions. And our result can be generalized to any dimensions, actually. And I lost my things. And you probably should have questions on when, so what are the conditions and when is this valid? And I think, I don't know if I can, okay, I'll write it here. So as you can see already that there is this Killing vector, the presence of Killing vector here. So it applies to a specific case, which is that, so the condition is that loops has to, these Wilson loop has to lie on a surface called totally geodesic surface. So, but let me actually emphasize here that our expression, because it is divergenceless and vanishes here, so our expression is surface independent. So I can have any surface as I want, as long as these surfaces are, the boundary of this surface is this Wilson loop in, of particular interest. But this condition is that this Wilson loop, our loop, loop has to at least one of the surfaces has to be a totally geodesic surface. That's the condition. And on the totally geodesic surface, it is actually given by this second fundamental form. My minus sign doesn't really matter. This second fundamental form has to vanish. And more qualitatively, it's a surface in which the geodesics of its surface have to be the same, have to be the geodesics of the underlying manifold. That's the qualitative maybe picture. And what it means by this second fundamental form being formed to be vanishing is that, so if I start up, if I have this, I don't know, some loop here, and then if I, so sorry, I should say, so these U's and V's are the tangent vectors to a surface that I'm considering, and this is a normal vector. So if I start out with a normal vector at some point, base point, and if I parallel transport it along this loop, then which is basically this covariant derivative of this normal vector, so after I transport it, it stays normal to the surface. This is what I mean by vanishing. Therefore, what it means is that one can say that Wilson loop, actually, on this totally geodesic surface takes a value in SO2, even though I started out with the theory with SO3. It takes a value in abelian subgroup of SO2, which is started out with SO3. So which means that these Wilson loops, let's say I have different loops, gamma tilde and gamma double tilde, but I can only compare with the same base point. They will commute on this totally geodesic surface, which means that my path ordering that I started out with I don't have to care about path ordering anymore in that picture. So for example, I could take, on this surface, I could take different orders in the Wilson loop of these small Wilson loops. And therefore, on this, I don't have to worry about, sorry. So no more surface ordering. In other words, that I started out with SO3, but on this surface, it decomposes into SO2, and then, or let's say that in general, I can start out with SOD. It decomposes into SO2, and then SOD-2 on this surface. Okay, so let me also draw a little picture, because to give you a better visual of what's going on. So what we have is that we have this particular loop gamma, and it relies on one surface which is totally identified to be totally geodesic. And then if this loop lies on one totally geodesic surface, then if I take any other surface S, right, then I can use this formula to calculate the angle, which is related to the trace of the Wilson loop. So this is our main result, which is the picture is given here. And another subsequent question is, when do we have such a totally geodesic surface in our manifold? Is when if there is a Killing vector which is orthogonal to a surface, then this surface is identified to be a totally geodesic surface. So, and then for example, in BTZ or Schwarzschild or also LRW, we have such Killing vectors. And we can actually generalize our formulation into higher dimensions, as I said. And for example, four dimensions, we need actually two Killing vectors. And then you have to take an anti-symmetric combination of these, and you can also go to higher dimensions and generalize these things. So this is what we have. And maybe I have some time to discuss. Kind of implication of our result, actually, maybe I can write it there. I don't know if it's a good news or bad news, but so this sectional curvature, which actually, so I should, maybe I'll write it explicitly. Is related to this sectional curvature. This is the intrinsic Gauss curvature. And that's the second fundamental form. So sectional curvature, which encodes the curvature information of the underlying manifold M, is related to the intrinsic Gauss curvature, which is just only knows about the curvature of the surface, two-dimensional surface itself that's being embedded, is related by second fundamental form. But on the total edge of the thick surface, second fundamental form vanishes, which means that actually sectional curvature reduces to intrinsic Gauss curvature, and therefore it only knows about the curvature information of the two-dimensional manifold that I'm actually embedding, which means that on the total edge of the thick surface, so this is the case, sectional curvature is now only equal to the intrinsic Gauss curvature, and this is actually nothing but Ricci scalar. And my angle, which is associated with the Wilson loop, from my formula on the total geodesic surface, the normal of the surface is the Killian vector is parallel to the normal of the total geodesic surface, so it's simply this. But this, because of that, it simply reduces to Ricci scalar. But then, if I use Gauss-Bonnet theorem, let's say that, let me write it here. All the surfaces that I'm considering has its boundary as it's the same loop. This is going to be the same value for all the loop, all the surfaces that I'm considering. And then, so what I have in the end is simply this. For any other surfaces which has its boundary as the same loop that I'm considering on the totally geodesic surface. And this result is actually what exactly we have here. So in the end, it looks like what we have in the end is simply kind of, maybe I shouldn't say simply, but the reformulation of the Gauss-Bonnet theorem. But then, of course, it's interesting to see, for example, in four dimensions, we have two angles, and one can be rewritten as something similar to this, whereas the other one, we cannot really write it in that form. So maybe that's something that's maybe interesting. But so this is, I don't know, this is our result, the main result that we have for the moment.
I'm a little confused about directions of implication here. If there's a Killing vector that is hypersurface orthogonal, then you have a totally geodesic surface. Is the converse also true? If you just have a totally geodesic surface with a loop on it, is there necessarily at least locally a Killing vector normal to it, or?
So I think, so there is, I think, so if I remember correctly, the statement, I think it's called Frobenius theorem, if I remember, is that the earlier statement of yours, which is that if there is a Killing vector which is orthogonal to a surface, then this surface is a totally geodesic surface. But the converse, I don't know, I don't think it's true in general. At least as far as we did some search, we didn't find the converse statement. So yes, and I don't know whether that can be said in any other way.
Okay, so then the condition that you need here is the existence of
Killing. Yes, okay. In order for our formula to be true in any way, yes, you can see there is. But so let me comment. So it's a bit also, I guess, disappointing from the initial motivation of ours that so we want to use gravitational Wilson loop as kind of, you know, observable in which it can tell us something about the underlying manifold. But then our formula, I guess, it in order to for it to hold, it already has this information of Killing vectors. So, and first of all, it basically knows about the underlying manifold, but also it only is only true in a very specific case, which is a very symmetric manifold. So I find it's very interesting result, yet for initial motivation, maybe it's not, at least so far, it's not that useful as far as.
Okay. As a chair, maybe I ask the final question. And we then continue to lunch. And this is, you got quite a complicated relation, that was your problem, between Wilson loops and the curvature tensor. Do you know some non-trivial examples where you get a very unintuitive relation between how Wilson loops scale, how the results of Wilson loop scales, which do not allow you any conclusions about the curvature tensor?
Sorry.
Okay, I'm asking, have you looked at examples where, for instance, this relation cannot be used at all to tell you anything about the curvature?
You mean the result of Alefebvre?
Yeah.
But in particular, you're talking about
yeah.
this one that, I don't know. This one. I don't know. I think, I'm not sure what you have in mind, but I think this should be true in any case.
Well, there might be examples where
it doesn't work. As long as you take this continuum limit.
I mean, the question is, to find a relation between the Wilson loops and the curvature.
Right.
And
in
you find this
yeah.
too complicated.
Yes, it's complicated.
So also, there could be quite an unintuitive things happening with the values of your Wilson loops. Say they might indicate a smooth spacetime, but the curvature is highly non-regular or something. Apparently, yeah, you don't have such examples.
No, I don't know, and I didn't. Yeah, we didn't really explore such examples as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I guess the problem is you have to go to complicated examples because in examples with symmetries it all simplifies.
Right.
Okay. Let's thank Reiko again.
Thanks.